Well, we found a circuit riding preacher. And it's a blessing to have Brother Scott with us. He's going to preach this afternoon. And Gigi, you've had the blessing of traveling with him for a week, huh? I thought I saw you, and then I thought I didn't see him, and we're glad. Thanks for being with us, and be prayerful for the word this morning, and welcome Brother Scott.
Greet you in the name of Jesus. We got the Bible in front of us, and how often do we open it and it gives us what we need? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what struggles you've had. I know mine. But I can trust and know that when I open this, and it doesn't matter where I'm at, but when I open it, it's going to be what I need, because that's how God works. He uses His Word, He uses His Spirit, and He opens His Word to us, and He knows us, and He says, this is what you need. I don't know what that is for you, but you know because you've experienced that. You've been down that path, haven't you? You've known that when you've got the faith to believe that regardless of what's happening, you can go here, you can believe it, you know that it's true, and you know that it's personal for you. It can be that. And I trust that it is that for all of us here. That God's Word is, in a big way, His Word for all mankind. But in a very personal way, for you and I individually, in whatever stage in life we're at, it's right here. So believe that, and know that, and have faith in that. That's the way God has it designed, and it works. It's proven itself many, many times. Let's read some scripture together here. It's open here into Job. Three or four chapters here in front of us. Let's read here chapter 32 in Job. The heading here says, Elihu's speech as he's presenting his case to Job. And I find it interesting that these men are trying to explain or somehow justify Job's situation. And we all know what went on with Job, but so often I think of that. Often we want to try to explain or try to justify what's happening in maybe a particular situation. You know what? We seldom know all the facts. We seldom understand it all. But yet we're quick to offer, or think we're offering, maybe in a sense, help. We think, oh, I want to help them. But maybe because we don't have the facts, and maybe our motive isn't quite right, and maybe because we really don't understand what's going on, the help doesn't turn out to be help. And so let's just read here and see what God would have for us. Job 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer, yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And you know, again, think about your own life. Think about the situations that you've been in. You hear maybe somebody trying to explain or help somebody and say, well, this is what the situation is. This is why it is. And then you don't agree with that. And then you kind of get mad and upset. And then pretty soon, where's God? Where's God in this picture? And all at once, it's all of our own opinions on what might be right. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not shew you mine opinion. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show you my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, I gave ear to your reasons, whilst ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, or that answered his words. Lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man. Now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed, and they answered no more. They left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show you mine opinion. For I am full of matter, the spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. Read through the whole verse, and we could continue to read Elihu's opinion and see what he thinks about the situation. But we see that before he even offered any input or wisdom at all, he had to begin to identify himself as one who is full of God's spirit and ready to give it out. He's ready to burst. It says, "I'm ready to burst with this information and wisdom." And we wonder, don't we? Are we? Do we have a humble attitude? Are we quiet? Do we let God speak to us? Do we let God fill us with His wisdom, with the facts, with the understanding? We love to help. We want to help people, don't we? We want to reach out. But how do we do that? What's the process? What's the procedure? My guess is it needs to start on our knees. And we need to really commit it to Him. How can I be of help, God? What do I have that I can offer? And then certainly examine ourselves. Where am I at with all this? What's my standing with you? Am I listening to Jesus? What is He telling me? All those things. And then there's opportunity to help. Reach out. And God will bless us and encourage us and help us to help each other. That's what we need. We need His help to help each other. Let's sing a hymn together. I have 178 open. You didn't sing that yet today. Life in Full Abundance in Jesus. 178.
Jesus, my defender, my soul supreme.
Let's join together and pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before thee again this afternoon to acknowledge again that thou art our God, the only one and true God, and the one that has created us in thine own image, the one that has created all things around us for our enjoyment, and yet that we can bring a blessing back to thee. And so, Father, we pray that our lives would be a glory and an honor, that we would live them in a way that would be respectful of thy word and the expectations that thou hast laid out for us. So encourage each one of us, Father, in the lives, the different paths we're on, the different environments and situations and places and responsibilities. And we know that thou art a personal God, personal even to Job, as we read here. And even so much that he learned through his trial, through his struggles, to know that thou art his God. And so we pray, Father, that we would realize this, that we could even learn from those that have gone on before, those from the Scripture, even those around us who deal with trial, who deal with struggles and tribulations and temptations and hardships, that we could respond to them appropriately, and that we could know that thou dost love us, and that those situations in life are designed to draw us closer to thee, to force us to become more dependent upon thee, dear Jesus. So bless us and encourage us. Father, we pray for each one here in this church. Bless them and reveal thyself to each one of them in a mighty way, that they could know that thou art with them every step of the way. And regardless what may come, that they can know and believe and trust in thee and in the power of thy word and thy spirit. Father, walk with us, strengthen us, pave the way before us, cause us to have a heart and a motive of not only loving thee, but loving those around us, that we would be willing to share what thou hast done for us in our lives and continues to do. We read that we are your workmanship, your masterpiece. So help us to allow the painting to continue. Or maybe some of us need remodeling. Father, we pray, open our hearts to your will, to the word, to the Scripture, to the Spirit, that we could be moldable and pliable, and that we could be who thou dost want us to be. Father, we thank thee for all that thou hast done. We thank thee for our churches that we can go to from place to place, city to city, and feel comfortable and welcomed and loved. And so we pray that we could share that back. Father, bless them here in this place. And we thank thee, Father, for the freedom that we have to do that. And we would pray for our leaders, even with a new change in administration and people in offices. Father, we pray that they would just commit their lives to thee and fall upon their knees to seek wisdom, not from men, but to seek wisdom from thee on high. Heavenly wisdom. Eternal wisdom. And Father, we ask that we would remember to pray for them. So bless us and encourage us. open the scripture now again to a New Testament reading that we could learn from and be motivated even for the next week to come. Everybody here goes a different direction, down a different path, with different opportunities. And we pray, Father, that you would give us what we need for the coming week. Or perhaps even shore us up for what we just went through. So bless us, encourage us, we thank thee, we love thee. Forgive us where we sin, where we fail before thee. And draw us closer to thee. We thank thee and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. St. Mark is open here. I've got chapter 13. So let's read maybe a portion. We'll see how the Lord would lead. But let's read here in Mark chapter 13. We'll begin at verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. Let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The words of Jesus, and he knows. He knows what's coming. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. And as he shared with his disciples there, and I love that verse 3 when these four disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they just grabbed a hold of Jesus privately, they said. They so wanted to know what and when. What is all this about? When is all this, the whole culmination of all of it? When and what and how? And these four men pull Jesus aside and they want to really find out. They want to know. And so Jesus goes into this explanation. And I know they didn't understand it. We don't understand it yet today. And we've read it hundreds of times. And we still can't put the whole picture together. But we don't have to. He ends it with the one word that he commands us to do. To watch. And he tells us to watch. And the watching has this implication of watching and being ready. And as he shares through all of these things that are going to happen, and we can trust that they will, and maybe we can see bits of pieces of that happening. Maybe some of you have traveled to other parts of the world and you see these things happening. You know, here we're kind of in a bit of a shoebox. We have been. We've had a government that's protected us to allow us to come here and worship. We can go out on the street and preach the gospel if we want to. So many places that can't be. So we're blessed here, but it also puts a set of blinders on us that maybe we think it'll always be that way. Or maybe we think God owes us that for whatever reason. But there is no promise of that. God never promises that we're going to be have a sweet life, happy, and everything goes smooth. He never tells us that. But he does tell us to watch. He tells us to follow him. And we see that even when the heat gets turned up, and that's what he's telling us here, that at some point the heat's going to get turned up. And how will we respond? You know, it said there, and we see some of these things, the wars, the rumors, the nation against nation. We see that. We experience that. We read it in the news all the time. In fact, we get it almost as it happens, or sometimes maybe before. It's that quick. And back then, he didn't know that. But we hear of it so quickly now. And so those things are happening. I don't know what the timetable is. But then the heat gets turned up. And maybe a little bit like it was in the first century with the new church and how they had to hide and were persecuted and were even brought in. You know, we know the Apostle Paul was, as Saul of Tarsus, that was his assignment. That's what he did. He was good at it. But we don't know what's ahead for us. But Jesus is saying, watch and be ready. Prepare yourselves for that. It's easy to prepare ourselves. Maybe we don't. Maybe we think it's hard. I'm looking ahead at the next week coming up, and I really don't want to do this next week. It's just going to be grueling and long and more going from city to city and set up, tear down, set up, tear. And I don't really want to do that. And I think, man, that's really hard. I don't. But Jesus is saying, no, the heat is going to get turned. That's not heat. The heat is going to get turned up. And how will we respond to that? And it goes way beyond what I like to do or don't like to do. And what he's encouraging us to do here is, what do we really have our identity in? Because if we're stuck here in what we do and who we are and where I work and all of the activities that I have and my busy schedule and I've got to do this and be here, and if that's our identity, we're going to have a hard time when the heat gets turned up. So Jesus is telling these four men who are going to get his church started, you got to be ready. And he's telling us that today. We need to be prepared. And we do that by getting into his word and understanding that. But we also do that by going through the exercise of removing lowering our identity of self and getting our identity into Christ. We have to do that, because it tells us here, brother's going to betray brother to death, and father to son, and children rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Because what happens is when if our identity is in ourselves, and we're not going to be able to deal with then the fear of dying, the fear of pain and suffering or torture, whatever that might be. And Jesus is saying, you need to have your identity in me. You need to be focused on me. Because that's where your strength is. That is what's going to carry us through. And so he's in a sense gently encouraging, but he's being very direct with them and saying, this is what's going to be happening. And I don't know what's ahead for us. You can listen to the news or read the news or watch the news, whatever we do, but we see the turmoil that's out there. And it seems like we're just one hiccup away from who knows what. And we know that Christians are starting to get compressed down. And they're starting, maybe it's beyond starting, but there's really an animosity happening in our country against believers, against Christians. That's what we are. How are we going to respond to that? And we've got to stand firm. We've got to have our identity in Christ in order to do that. And he goes on to say, these are the things that are going to be taking place. And not to scare them. Not to make them think, well, I can't do this. I don't want to do that. No, that they would arm themselves with the identity of Christ And now they can face it. Now that's where their strength is. Think about it. If you had to rely on your own emotions or your own physical abilities, how far would that go? And we can read all through scriptures of men who were so tied to God or to Christ that they could withstand these things. And this is not a negative scripture. This is a positive thing, because he never leaves us hanging, or he never says, well, there's no hope. Because he tells us that he's coming again. And at some point here in this whole schedule that God has laid out that we don't know, and it tells us the angels don't know, even the Son doesn't know, but God knows, and at some point he's going to say, now you go do this. Enough. And it will be, and it happens. In God's time. We don't know what that is. But in this sequence of events that goes on, he tells us then in verse 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. That is the culmination. Whether that happens in our lifetime or not is really irrelevant. But it will happen in someone's lifetime. Maybe my children. Maybe my grandchildren's lifetime. I don't know. But what is our focus? What is our job? Our job is to be ready, to watch, to prepare, to warn, to strengthen, so that we as a group of believers can stand together when those things come. You know, we can just pick ourselves apart, and when we do that, we weaken the whole structure. And we can't do that. We've got to stand firm on the words of Christ. That's where the strength is. It's not in who we are individually. It's who we are with the identity of Christ. How does he see us? And then how do others see us? We cannot operate independently from Christ. We cannot do that. And you know that goes against our grain, doesn't it? We love to be independent. Those of you that have young children, you know almost immediately they want to be independent. As soon as they can pull themselves up, start pulling around, grabbing stuff off, then they can start walking. And boy, when they can start walking, look out. They're going, they don't look around to see where mom or dad is. They're just heading out. They're gone. They want their independence. They don't want necessarily to be tied and linked. And that's kind of what we as humans fight. But Jesus wants us to be so dependent on him, so tied to him, that our identity is him. And when God looks at us, he sees Christ. When others look at us, they see Christ. And so we need to fill ourselves, not with ourselves, but fill ourselves with the Word. And fill ourselves with his Spirit, and allow him to speak to us. And allow him to guide us and navigate us through. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. You know, Christ came as a babe the first time, but this time is going to be all different. Totally different. He's going to come in the clouds. He'll be riding on a white horse, and things are going to change. So, where will we be in all that? Are we preparing the next generation? So if it doesn't happen in ours, will the next generation, will they be firm and grounded and have a solid foundation, will they also seek their identity in Christ? We have to teach them that, because it goes against us as human. We don't want, naturally, we don't want that. And it takes effort on our part. Jesus is encouraging us to do that. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the uttermost part of the earth and the uttermost part of heaven. And his plan will just unfold. It's the hope that we have. And so as we go through our life here, don't let it bog us down. Don't get crunched under the burden of it. Don't look at the hardships as bad. Look at them as God working within us to draw us closer to Him. I read this morning in my devotional, and I won't get it right, but it was something that God is not so much interested in our happiness as He is committed to our holiness. He's committed to that. He wants us to be holy before Him. And if we're that, the happiness is going to come. But the happiness is not found in all the stuff around us. It's found in our identity with Him. And He tells us, you're not going to know the day. You're not going to know the hour. Nobody does. The angels don't. The Son doesn't, but the Father. But He says, take heed. Take heed. Think about it. Don't be afraid of it, but take heed. Be ready. Acknowledge it. Be cognizant of it. Know that Jesus is in charge, and He has told us. He told us here somewhere, I foretold you all. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And He speaks a little parable about not being ready. That we need to be watchful. And we need to be ready. We don't want to get ready. Getting ready is too late. But being ready is right on time. And that's what Jesus is encouraging us to be. Don't wait. But let's work on that now. And it takes effort. We have to work at it. It doesn't just happen naturally. So each one of us need to draw closer to Him and ask God, what can I do? How can I be closer? How can I have more of your identity? What can I push away or push to the back of what I rely on? Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Even at even, midnight, cock crowing, morning, we don't know. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. You don't want that. We don't want that. We gotta be awake and lively and ready to serve and in His will. And then He ends it just by saying, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. He doesn't say watch and fret, or watch and be scared, and watch and worry. It's watch, and He's told us to hope. It's watch and identify with Him. It's watch and follow Him. It's watch and believe in Him and trust and know that His word is there for us. Flip it open. See what it says. You got a question? You got a struggle? Open it up and see what God reveals to you. It's awesome how He wants to personally, just like He did with these four men, personally share with them. He wants to do that with you and I. So don't hold back. Give it to Him. Let Him have it.
Well, we have had a good morning. We've had a good afternoon. We've learned a lot. today. We've been able to open the Bible to learn about it. I don't have a lot more to add. I think as Greg said this morning, it was almost a perfect sermon for us to consider the week ahead and what we have ahead of us. The one thing I was just thinking was back to Job, is that Job had four wise people that were there to help him. And we go through 40 chapters of trying to figure out what happened to Job. And all that they're missing is a spiritual discernment. They have a worldly understanding of what's going on, but they're missing that spiritual discernment that Job had, and he had a faith and a trust in God. Job wasn't willing to rely on himself, as we heard. He was willing to only rely on God, and he knew. And we see it in the story, because we see the story of Job from the background. We know that Satan was involved. But we know, as we look back and we see that story, that Job was willing to follow God, and less of himself and more of God in his life. And let's just sing this. I know when I was up in Detroit, sometimes they would sing these songs here at the end of the Brown Book, kind of in the in-between, and I usually can't figure it out. There's words like fine and stanzas and stuff moves all around, but they're really beautiful songs. Can we try one of these, Jerry? Like the 23rd Psalm on 298. You can always say no.
Thank you. ask a brother to lead us in prayer.
Father God, we, Lord, are, God, so thankful, just even to, at the end of reading through Mark 13, to read how we can come to you, and when our souls are burdened, Lord, that you give us rest, Father. And there's lots of doctrine and lots of teaching, Father, that we really don't understand clearly, Lord, but we know that in you we have rest for our souls, Father, and that you are the answer for all of these confusing things, Father, that we don't understand, Lord, but yet even within this, Father, we bless you because you were so direct in telling the disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth is given to you. And Father, therefore, we as your people can go with that same authority that you give to us by the power of your Spirit and go and make disciples of all nations. And Father, this is an amazing directive that just even after considering the challenges and the confusing pieces of Mark 13, we can just be so thankful and rejoice in knowing that your kingdom is now, that you have victoriously smitten death, and that Satan has no authority and no right, no place, Father, in the church, but you are preparing for yourself a pure bride, and Lord, that you are coming. The marriage feast is coming, and we are so excited for that, Father. I pray that you would invigorate your church, and with the power of the Spirit, that we would be so confident in you, in your work, and in the victory that you have won, Father, and therefore go and make disciples, knowing that you have sheep that are of your fold, Father, that have not yet been drawn in, but you as the master and the good shepherd will bring them into your fold, Father, and bring them into salvation. And we rejoice for allowing us to partake in this mission, Father. I pray that you would bless Indianapolis Church, this congregation, and all the outreach and the excitement and the energy within it, Father. Continue to pray for leadership here, and specifically thinking of Brother Ken and Lynn and their leadership here, and the blessing that they are to the congregation. Continue to pour out your Spirit, Father, and direct this congregation in reaching the people groups around Indianapolis, Father, for the sake of your name. Lord, we love you and thank you again for this day that we were together, and for the reminder of who you are, Christ. And we love you, and it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.